Welcome back to the Gavel and the Gabble. It's me, Harry, and I am joined by...
It's me, Simon, from lovely, lovely Devon at Lime Bay Auctions. How are you, Harry, my friend? Now, dear listener, I must just update you. Our wonderful auctioneer, Harry, is just back from the beginnings of his very own grand tour. Where have you been, Harry?
I went on a cheap and cheerful, Avios-funded, as everybody keeps telling me, trip to Copenhagen. And I've got yet another whinge, as everybody keeps telling me.
Oh,
I whinge all the time.
On your grand tour? Surely
on grand
not.
Tour. So, hear me out. If you are an auctioneer and you're into the selling of furniture, a lot of highly acclaimed furniture designers are Dutch or Dutch-based, and there is a fantastic museum called the Dutch Design Museum or the Danish Design Museum in Copenhagen. Now, those of you who have met me in person or have seen me, there's a lot of walking in Copenhagen, a lot of walking, and I am quite a large human. On one day, I did 10 kilometers, which my watch gave me a badge for. And I set off and trotted off with my wife to go to the design museum, got in, paid for my ticket and all the rest of it, having a wander around and thinking, this is nice. There's a lot of fashion, not very into fashion. And then I found a storeroom that looked very similar to an auction house room. And then I said, where are all the chairs? Where are all the furniture? Where's all that stuff? And what they hadn't told anybody is those galleries are closed for refurbishment. So I went all the way to Copenhagen and the Design Museum, and the most designed chair I sat on was the one in the cafeteria where I had a cup of coffee. There was nothing. And I was not alone. There were quite a few. I met several British couples wandering around going, I've come to look at some chairs. There are no chairs. I've come to look at a table. Have you seen the table? I said, no. And then the guy said, go to the cafe. There's lots of chairs in there. And I laughed and I went, that's not the point. having said that, the National Museum, the SMK in Copenhagen, absolutely amazing, beautiful art, fantastic collection. It was empty when we went there. So strongly, strongly recommend that. And I did touristy things as well. Went to the canal tour. And Copenhagen, and I went to the Tivoli Gardens and saw rides that you and I, suffering from a bit of
Tivoli.
Vertigo. Tivoli Gardens. Very pretty. It was great. The whole thing was lovely. Yeah, so 4 days in Copenhagen. Thank you for asking, and lovely time. However, back to work. Came back to work, and I've done 2 valuation days in a week.
Very good. How did it go?
Mixed, I think is how we would describe it. Virginia Water, very, very busy. Endless queue. Met lots of lovely people. And met some returning customers and some new customers. So that was great fun. Got some lovely things coming to auction, particularly a 18-karat gold Cartier necklace. So that was a good day. And then at the end of the week, we headed to Camberley, where we've never been before. So we did a bit of promo and all the rest of it. And not as busy, quite quiet. Saw some nice things. Saw an amazing clock at £4,000 to £6,000. And then the lady who had walked it to the 200 yards to where we were then rang her husband and said, bring the car round. I'm not prepared to carry this back now I've had the valuation. It was a real antiques roadshow moment. Mixed. But yeah, quieter in Camberley. So we're going to go back to Camberley. And see whether we can't get up to the levels that we're used to. How about you, mate? I've rabbited on. How about you?
Well, I mean, on your theme of valuation days, Mark, our head valuer here at Lime Bay Auctions, and I hot-footed it off to Chard, lovely little Somerset town, short distance here from Lime Bay Auctions. And we were at the lovely Guild Hall where we were looked after by the magnificent events manager, Tim, who took very good care of us. And we were in a very grand room and we saw lots of people. And this, by the way, is not a whinge in any way, shape or form, merely an anecdote in that we had a lovely day at Chard. In terms of consignments for auction, not especially great, although we did come away with, and yeah, I was saying that, we came away with a really beautiful, right, you won't have heard me say this before, Harry, ever.
Right.
We came away with a really beautiful Victorian peg doll.
It's a doll, right? Ah, it's a doll. Peg dolls don't have roly eyes, do they?
No, 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 they don't. They're wooden and they're jointed and they're, and she, but she had sort of a painted face and eyes. Really beautiful, beautiful doll. She was she's absolutely gorgeous and she's in our next sale.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that sounds lovely. Dear listener, for those who don't understand why Simon has checked on the doll and said that I wouldn't have heard him say that before, he actually has a phobia, full-blown phobia of dolls, but it's the particularly the ones with the roly eyes, isn't it, I think, and
the ones that fall asleep and look dead.
Yeah, nicely put. And interesting that he would have picked a doll as his high point, but that's good. Oh, lovely. I like a doll.
No, but to carry on with that, the and again, as I say, this is not a whinge, but this is part of, you know, our valuation days that we do at Windsor Auctions and at Lime Bay Auctions. And how shall I phrase this delicately? Part of the challenge for us as auctioneers, what we do at these valuation days, as you well know, Harry, is we offer free valuations and we are delighted to do it. But when you see a large collection of beautiful Victorian and Georgian silver and you value it all, and then it all goes back in the bag and goes home. And then the following couple come in and go, we'd just like some valuation on these. Really happy to help, absolutely delighted to help, and lovely to see beautiful things. But then when you see a large collection of gold, including 18-carat gold pocket watch, including a gold nugget mounted, a genuine gold nugget, straight out of the ground, 24-carat gold nugget mounted as a tie pin. Oh, it was amazing. In its original Victorian, but that went back in the bag. And so there does come a point as an auctioneer where you valued a lot of stuff. And this is not a whinge, which we are very much absolutely thrilled and delighted to do because we get to see these beautiful items. But when the fifth box walks back out the door, having been valued, and none of it is coming to my lovely auction to grace my photo booth and obviously for us to make commission on, I hear you, our listener going, you just want to make some commission, Simon, don't you? Yeah, yes, because that's kind of our business. But yes, we did have a lovely day in Chard, absolutely lovely, and we saw some beautiful things, none of which, Harry, you will be auctioneering at our next auction. But that is just the way of it. Sometimes it comes our way and people are ready to sell. And sometimes they want a valuation and they want to go away and think about it. And absolutely, that's what they should do. And just to be completely clear, I don't want the items to come to auction unless our dear customers are very happy for them to go to auction. But oh my word, I saw some beautiful things.
And they didn't get them. I think that's exactly, I said to a lady the other day, she said, you seem crestfallen that I'm not leaving my gold coin collection with you. I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Yes, I am crestfallen that you're not leaving your gold coin.
But that's not the point.
I said, but what you have to understand, in an auctioneer's mind, once I've touched it, valued it, appraised it, put it back down on the desk in front of you, given you all the feedback and all the rest of it, in my mind, that's coming to auction. I fully appreciate that's completely irrational and not how it works. Mm-hmm. And we're offering free appraisals. I said, but in my little mind, which is tiny, I'm thinking, that's going to look really good on page 4 of the catalogue. Lovely.
Exactly.
And the fact you're putting it back in your handbag is not helping the situation.
Yeah. And as we've said before, we are like little children magpies who float around the countryside going, let me find shiny, beautiful things to make my auction look beautiful. And so with that childlike mentality becomes the slightly stampy foot of, why is that going back in your handbag? Please stop it. Please give it back. Surely it's mine now, because that's what my little brain does when we do valuations and they don't go. Don't get me wrong. Both of the lovely people with the silver and the gold have gone away to think about it and they have our card. And should they ever decide to sell them, of course, we hope they'll come to Lime Bay Auctions and I'm sure they will. But right now isn't the time. And that made my little heart sink. But
it's
there you go.
Easy,
it was a good day.
Easy,
no, it was great. It was great. And more news then from the front. Our friend, Mr. Michael Baggett. We have news, do we not, Harry?
We do. Our friend of the pod, Michael Baggett, and we're going to be recording an interview just on this subject, has written a book. A Lifetime in Antiques, it's called.
Oh, fantastic.
It's out very soon. It's about 2 to 3 weeks' time. You can pre-order a copy from yorkbookshop.com. We've got some preview bits that we're going to read in anticipation of interviewing him this week. And yeah, we're really looking forward to it. So Michael's coming on the pod to talk about his new book, A Lifetime in Antiques. He is very self-deprecating when I was chatting to him and organising this. And I think that we're going to have to spend half the interview bigging him up and saying, Michael, you've had a fascinating life in antiques. Lots of people really, really are interested in what you have to say. He did. I'm aware that he did a talk with Narva and Property Mark the other day on ivory. And the feedback from that, from Richard Worrell, another friend of the pub, president of the National Association, he said he was absent. People were just hanging on his every word because he's so knowledgeable. So we're going to big up Michael when we see him. So that's good. Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing him. We've got a couple of other interviews booked in. We are trying. There has been a plethora of books written recently, fiction and otherwise. So we've got Miller, who wrote The Antiques, a murder mystery, and James Braxton of Antiques Road Trip fame, publican, raconteur. We're trying to cajole him into coming on to talk about his new book as well. Who knows? We might get a knockback. I get plenty of knockbacks. I get ignored a lot, don't I, when I ask for interviews? But we'll keep on. Just a simple, it's not for me would be nice, just so I, for my own ego, by the way, if you're listening, anybody else? No, thanks. Bit busy. That'll be lovely. Rather than deathly silence.
Your cold calling days are not yet over, are they?
Oh, do you know what, mate? That's how we all start in our careers, but it is funny. And I remember those days when I was like 19 picking up the phone. In those days, I was involved in the estate agency and just go, oh, it's so painful when they knock you back. It's just awful. But I get it entirely. I do get it. But
yeah. Oh, come on. You must have had that sales manager. I had the one. Remember, every 9 no's you get, you're closer to the 1 yes. Come on. Let's inspire and go
that
forward.
That endless. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. The manager stood in front of you going, yeah, you get 100. You've got a list of 100. 9 of them are going to say no for every 10. One of them is going to say yes. And you're going, mate, I've done
exactly. Every no, you're closer to a yes, Harry.
I've done 97 in a row.
Whoop, whoop. Ring the bell. You've just made an appointment. Come on. Those were the old days. Look
mate,
at us thinking we're in, you and I think we're in Wolf of Wall Street or something, don't we? I mean, come on. We're just auctioneers at the end of the day. So we've had an interesting week as well, Harry.
And good, man.
Just to give a flavour of, and this is why we love this job, the diversity of the things that we get to do day in, day out. And you never know. No day's ever the same. We've said that. We've banged on about this. But how about this? I had a call on Friday, around about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, here in Seaton, we have a wonderful tourist attraction, been going many, many years, and it's called the Seaton Tramway. It's run by a charity, and it is they are running trams, electric trams from Seaton to Colleton, stopping at Colliford. And it's a big attraction down here. They've got open-top trams. They've got a big tram central. If you're coming down to the southwest and you're in East Devon, it is well worth a look. The kids love it. The tram heads through the wetlands, which is a big conservation area. You get to see the beautiful Devon countryside, and you end up either at one end in the beautiful, beautiful Devon village of Colleton, the most rebellious town in the UK is how it's listed. Look up the heritage, look up the history. It's absolutely fantastic. And then you head back and you end up in beautiful Seaton, literally one road back from the Esplanade and the seaside. So it's absolutely wonderful. Now, I had a call from the CEO to say, we have taken over and are building a Jurassic Centre. And there was a previous display stroke Jurassic Center type thing. I won't go into the details of why it's changing and all the rest of it. That's irrelevant. We've got some things that you might be interested in for auction. When could you come and see us, Simon? I said, how does 20 minutes sound? And they said, fabulous, we're here now. Because I took my children to the original Jurassic Center before, sadly, it closed down, but is now being renovated by the wonderful tram people into another display museum type thing. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. And it's all going to be about the end of the dinosaurs. So when the meteorite hit the planet, if you so believe, other beliefs are available. But when the comet hit, and so this is a big display about all of this. So in my mind, Harry, I'm getting dinosaurs, right? I'm getting life-size dinosaurs. So I literally, give me 20 minutes, I will be there. Because if there is any chance of a life-size dinosaur, Harry and I are there like a flash, right?
Yeah.
We're on message, okay?
We're all in.
So I get to go down, meet the CEO. Now, I did get to see the dinosaurs that are going to make up the new exhibit. That's the better word, isn't it? I was looking for the words. Exhibition. It's going to be amazing. It's going to open in July. Now, they have purchased animatronic dinosaurs from a London museum, which are going to be on display in Seaton. And I got to see the big, fluffy, scaly creatures in the flesh. Not literally, because they don't exist, but that's not the point. You're with me. So I got to see, Harry, the magnificent animatronic dinosaurs before anybody else that are going to be on display in the wonderful seaside town of Seaton in June, July. Look at the website, the Tramways website, the Jurassic Centre, and these animatronic, moving, eyes moving, super scary beasts are going to be on display there. And I got to see them on Friday, which is magnificent. I didn't get any dinosaurs, Harry. I apologise. Sorry about that. But I did get a giant seagull's head.
I love it.
Made out of whatever it is, fiberglass. And I have got a huge, huge Jurassic fish, which is also coming to auction on the 29th of April. Not that, apparently that doesn't work in podcast land, but I'm going to say it anyway. So we have got a giant seagull's head and a huge dinosaur fish. If I'd have done my homework properly, I'd be able to tell you it was an Ixia something, a Saurus-y type. But I didn't. I haven't done my research, Harry. So I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you later. But, my friend, you will. When was the last time, Harry, in your wide and illustrious career that you auctioned a oversized, and I mean oversized, huge seagull's head? I bring that to you.
I'm loving the fact there's a first for everything. I'm delighted that you actually got something like that, because where I thought this conversation was going to go is they're going to show you all that stuff, walk you through to the cafeteria and say, here's 200 tables and chairs. Could you get rid of these?
It could have happened. It could have happened. Yeah, which is absolutely.
Which is what happened to me with a local restaurant that's got lovely, lovely antiques over the walls. It's changed hands. They're changing the look. And I went in the other day and they said, I was like, oh, this is great. I've been coming here and I've known it because I've been in the area all my life. Oh, we're going to get that. And there's all these displays. And they went, yeah, we're just changing the table and chairs for the refit. Could you take all of those? I'm like, looking at them like, what? Pardon? I thought that's where you were going with that. Well, I'm looking forward to, we will check back, everybody, and let you know how the seagull's herd goes. And also what the actual name of the dinosaur is. By the way, just as an aside, Simon, when you describe dinosaurs, I'm not sure, and I can't remember because I'm not dinosaur well briefed, but is there a fluffy one, as you just said?
There was. No, I was surprised as well because I was stroking this fluffy, two-legged thing. Dinosaur. And I was stroking it, and then the lovely CEO, the lady I was dealing with, well, could you leave the dinosaur? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's very expensive. All right, get your mucky paws off of it. Yeah, I get it. Sorry, but he was quite cute. He stood up to sort of shoulder height on me, well, up to its head, and it was fluffy. It was furry. So I was stroking said dinosaur, which has cost.
No, we're sticking with Fluffy, mate.
Fluffy it is. In fact, I believe that was its name, Fluffy. That's what Fluffy, they call
the fluffiest.
Yeah, and I could see the lovely lady that I'd met, the CEO of the tramways and the exhibition, just sort of looking at me, going, "You do realise we paid a small fortune for that thing, and you're just maiming it, quite frankly. Leave the dinosaur alone." I mean, on the way out, Harry, you would have been proud of me. Going back to our previous sales days, you know, 9 no's closer to a yes. Come on, sell, sell, sell. I did say, "Could I just have one dinosaur?" And she said, "No, you can't, Simon. Get out." She said, "Off you go. Trot. Go on you go. You're not having a dinosaur." I said, "Just one. You've got lots here. Can I just have one?" "No," she said.
Yeah.
So I got 9 no's out of one lovely lady. So that's, you know, that's
you greedy, greedy Jurassic Center with keeping all your dinosaurs.
Keeping all your very expensive London Museum dinosaurs, which you've raised a huge amount of money to purchase and are going to exhibit in Seaton. So there's another reason to come to the lovely seaside town of Seaton this summer. Come and see the massive, the magnificent Jurassic dinosaur display thing. It's really nice.
And that's cool because they're going to be open peak and school holiday season when the area you... reside in is quite busy, as you alluded to in previous pods. Let's not go back down that route, but at least now you've got something else to do with the kids other than, was it crabbing off the pier? What pier? Off the Cob and all the rest of it.
Crabbing
it
off. Yeah. It is beautiful. And I'm sure the children with strange names can come and look at some dinosaurs. I reckon even some of the dinosaurs will go, what did you just call that child? Gerald.
So what? Simon doesn't read below the line, so he doesn't realise that half our listeners have cancelled because he can't cope with what people call their children. Right, what have you got coming up, mate? Anything interesting coming up or anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I can tell you, and we're going to test your auctioneering skills at the end of April. We have had a really super... I mean, how diverse is our job? It's wonderful. Victorian, hand-blown, I might just leave it there, hand-blown glass Christmas decorations.
Oh, I love those.
I fully appreciate that it's April and we're moving into summer. However, a lovely lady trotted into our auction house with several big boxes and said, "I don't suppose you sell Christmas decorations." And our initial reaction was, "Oh, no, not. Oh, these Christmas. Yes, madam. Yes, madam. These we do." So, yeah, in April, we have got some really, really beautiful. And of course, we always talk about what makes something valuable. And what makes something valuable quite often is down to some very basics like rarity, quality and other factors. But rarity and quality. Now, these have it all, don't they? Because they're glass. They get broken. They get smashed. So they're rare. And they're handmade. They're hand-painted. They're hand-decorated. So we've got quality. So now we have something of value. Obviously, timing's everything. And April, perhaps not the best time, but fortunately, I think you're going to find Mr. Harry, superstar auctioneer, that even selling them at the wrong time of year, these are going to be magnificent enough for you to be able to work your sublime magic and turn a good result for our lovely customer.
Dear listener, off air, I imagine I'm going to be asked for something after this recording of this podcast because Simon's really been very complimentary about my auctioneer skills. So I'm not sure what it's going to be. I'll report back in a later episode, but I feel... I'm just about to get stitched right up. Now I've got a quick anecdote to tell you. And we do talk about my size occasionally. However, did I tell you that I went to a house And after a half an hour of valuing and looking at bits and pieces, a lady went to get me a book. Did I tell you this story?
No. Is she going to read you a story?
No. She said, I've just got something for you that I think will help. And I was like, oh, it's the Miller's Guide or something like that. She bought me, is his name Paul McKenna, the hypnotist?
Yes, the hypnotist, yes.
She bought me Paul McKenna's book and CD, which are all one thing, on how to lose weight. So she felt that it was appropriate that I was sat in her living room doing evaluation. And obviously the only thing on her mind was not the things that I told her or, you know, this is a really beautiful diamond ring. Sadly, you know, it's a little bit of damage, yada, yada, yada. It's going to be £800 to £1,200 or whatever it might be. She's going, I really should help this bloke with his weight loss issue. That's all that's nagging on her mind. And felt that it was appropriate. And felt that it was appropriate to bring me the book. She goes, you could just send it back when you finished. I'm not sure you're ever finished on your weight loss journey. And I was laughing, going, right. I said, do you know what? We have a company policy of never borrowing things from customers, but I really appreciate the kind gesture. You just leave that there. And then desperately tried to find a way of getting out of the house because I thought, this is...
She was also lending it to you.
Oh, yeah, said, no, no. This was not a gift. When you're finished. When you're finished.
Send it back when you're thin. Is that... So do we need to... Hang on. Let me just qualify. Before I borrow said book, which is a very generous offer, although not such an offer since you're lending it to me, not giving it to me. But on that basis, should we be setting some kind of a milestone here? What target weight do I need to reach before I send said book back? Just so as I'm clear as to the parameters of the lending of said book. You're lending me this book. I need to return it at some point. How much weight do I need to lose before it's the appropriate time to send the book back? Good grief.
I mean, I didn't...
How did you feel at this point, Harry? Talk me through this.
Slightly crushed. It is slightly awkward. I am one of the larger humans, but I was laughing inside and also thinking, how does somebody gauge somebody's personality that is an appropriate thing to do? And also, the main thing in my mind was, you've not listened to a word I've said in the last half hour, because all you've been thinking is, well, why is he that size? You know, or whatever it might be, you know, and you don't know. Yeah.
Harry, can I just say that I've known you for well over 20 years now, consider you a great friend, business partner colleague, and I wouldn't dream of giving you any such kind of...
Do you know what, to be honest, book, mate, as we've been together for...
Advice, stroke, yeah, anything.
As we have been together, which is the only way of describing our relationship, for so long, I would take it if you said it to me, but I was just giving it an anecdote because I just think it is funny that people do the most inappropriate things. And I had another one on Friday, which this is not inappropriate. I was running late for an appointment and the office rang the lady and said, he's 10 minutes away. He's running late. He's got caught up at a previous appointment. He's really sorry. He said, no problem at all. But could you ring him back and ask him if he knows anything about how to fix Hoovers?
To be fair, Harry, that's your own fault because you offer such an all-encompassing service at Windsor Auctions that apparently it's appropriate to ask that question.
I was like, so I got there. They hadn't got a hold of me by that point, or I just turned up between the messages or whatever. Walked through the door. She goes, oh, thank God you're here. I had a bit of a drama. Something spilt on the floor and I'm trying to hoover it up before you came here, but my hoover won't suck up anymore. Could you fix it for me? And I looked at the Dyson that I was being looked at me and I went, it's not really my area of expertise. I have to be honest. Can barely wire a plug. I would feel it would be dangerous for me to dismantle your hoover.
I'm not sure I hold the relevant certificates in order to start rewiring a hoover. No, absolutely.
Other than that, why am I here?
I've got a final quick anecdote for you. This one has just popped into my mind for no reason whatsoever. It is totally irrelevant. At our last valuation day, who was it told me this? Oh, bless him. Dave, who works for us, told me this story. He said, you ought to pop this in the podcast. It made me laugh anyway. Dave was up behind the counters showing a range of people some jewelry, and one of the ladies behind the counter had tried on a ring, and it was a little bit tight. And when she went to take it off, it pinged off her finger and bounced along the floor. And everybody was a little bit startled. And obviously, we needed to find the ring. It was quite an expensive ring. And the lady said to Dave, "I'm ever so sorry. I've dropped this ring, but I need you to pick it up for me because I've just been run over." And Dave said, "Oh my goodness, you've just been run over?" "Yeah," she said, "I've just been run over, and I'm in quite a lot of pain, so I can't." So Dave, being the lovely Dave that he is — everybody needs a Dave, because Dave is lovely and helps everybody — scuttled round, pick up the ring, you know, put it back, and said, "Oh, are you okay? Is everything okay? You know, what happened?" And she said, "Well, I was in the frozen aisle at Tesco's, and somebody ran over me with a trolley."
Oh,
not quite the same, is it?
No,
not quite the same.
No, I do have a run over story. Got time?
Got time. Always got time.
I went to see a client the other day who, God bless her, and is well on the way to recovery, ran herself over.
How do you do that?
She was reversing or driving off her driveway or something, and there was a cat in front, and she got out of her car, or leant out of her car, or somehow got out of her car to shoo the cat off the driveway. I think cats normally just move, don't they? I mean, I don't know. They don't want to be run over.
Yeah.
And somehow she'd managed to fall under her car and run herself over and crush her legs. And her car, automatic, I'm guessing, ended up on the neighbour's driveway, went across the road and up the next house's driveway, and sort of ran into their — not at huge speed, but ran into their front door. And she said,
"She wants to stick to the frozen aisle of Tesco. It's much safer."
Exactly. She said, "It hurt quite a lot." I said, "I am not surprised. Both wheels went over her two legs. I just don't understand how it happens." But there you go. I've heard of it before, but that's what she did. That's what she was telling me. Absolutely mental.
I feel we've gone slightly off-piste with our stories today.
It's what people tell you. The nice thing about what we do is half our appointments are valuing things, and the other half is getting to know people, chit-chatting, that sort of stuff. Is it not? There's a lot of life stories. Life stories. It's quite interesting.
There's a lot of background. Yeah, absolutely.
Mate, we're nearing the end of another episode. What does our listener need to do?
Buy a huge seagull's head for a lot of money, because my kids want to go and see this exhibition. It's going to be really, really good. Is that what you meant?
You heard it here first. No. Like, subscribe, leave us a review. Spread the word about the pod.
That's
what we want us to do. Oh no, leave a review, because Simon doesn't read them. I do. I read them, and then
Where would the reviews be?
And then I package up the good ones, and then we sort it out. We had one of our clips on one of our social medias exceeded, I don't know, it was 10,000 views or something, and our producer said, "Oh, isn't it nice that people are watching the clips on social media?" Simon had no idea we had clips on social media, I don't think.
I thought it was just you and me chatting. I thought it was just you and me getting together for a chat, and you made me put these silly headphones on for a laugh. That's what I assumed we were doing.
Our listeners don't realise that before every podcast, we have a 20-minute therapy session where we download our lives to each other.
But you know what? It's quite nice to have our little session once a week with our listener, and just have a little download and share some of the events of the week.
Right, mate. I'll see you in a week.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.